Hello and welcome to Focus on Business. I'm your host, Lee Strickland. Here's a reminder that the comments, views, and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily or usually represent the opinions of WCOM, its board, and its underwriters. My guest today is J.V. Miller. J.V. served in North Carolina's National Guard. So we're continuing this month's theme on veteran-related programs. He's a business consultant working with entrepreneurs and mid-sized companies on product development, strategic business development, and product strategies. He is currently the president of the North Carolina chapter of the National Defense Industry Association and serves on the Morrisville's Innovation Foundation Hot Ovation Program. That's easy to say, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as a mentor to early-stage companies, today JV joins me to talk about this newly formed and launched North Carolina NDIA chapter where he's the president, and full disclosure, I'm the secretary. JV, thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you for the invite.
We've decided to reactivate and re-energize here in North Carolina our Defense Industry Association. So the National Defense Industry Association has chapters around the country, and so we just started talking about this earlier this year, and
yep.
Then we launched on October 1st. So let's fill everybody in on why this, why now, and why us.
Well, I'd like to take it back a little bit further. Several years ago, I was at a conference, and they said North Carolina had an NDI chapter. So when I started looking, I found out the chapter was no longer active. So I realized that NDIA has huge value in bringing industry, business, and research institutions together. And considering North Carolina is the third largest defense state, forgetting DLD employees for a couple of minutes, but with active duty guard reserve, we're the third largest state in the U.S. And there's no chapter here. And this is an organization that brings together these businesses and discuss about best practices and how we can improve the climate within the state. So talking to National, we decided to go ahead and launch this. And we had a meeting in May, and we had over 45 people turning out that said, yes, they would participate. And that's when I met you.
Right.
At the meeting, you said, I would probably consider volunteering. And so we just went ahead and started building it slowly. We had nomination for officers in August. We voted with the membership, and we have a board now of four people plus myself to build a chapter.
And the board members are representing multiple generations, multiple locations, and multiple industries
supporting the
defense industry.
Yeah. Luke, who's the president-elect, comes out of California. He has his consulting for aviation companies in the area and has a background in aviation.
It's Luke Lehman at Victor Solutions.
Yes. He has a background. He also came out of the San Diego NDI chapter, and he was one of those that prodded me into saying, let's try and build a chapter here. There is you with Focus, where you have taken on the responsibility of secretary, which is greatly appreciated considering what we're trying to do.
Sometimes feels like herding cats, but we'll get there.
You do a good job. Then there's Diane Potts out of Fayetteville, who is building a group to help veterans down at Fayetteville. And then there's Ralph, who does financial assistance to
Ralph
veterans.
Markwood, he's our treasurer.
That's right.
He has the other herding cats type thing. In setting up anything, we always have legal steps, financial steps, and all those kind of things. And so that's what the things we've been doing for October and November is getting infrastructure items taken care of.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll probably continue to put the infrastructure together through January. The program team, which is Luke and Diane, want to go with our first meeting on February the 21st, which is a Tuesday. That will focus on the Raleigh, Durham, and Fayetteville area, as that is where our majority of our membership is based. And to be successful, we have to focus on the businesses, we have to focus on the contractors and the military, because they are the ones who provide the contracting results. We're fortunate that there is also down in South Carolina a group called Space Wars Atlantic, which implements the strategies that are developed by the Office of Naval Research. We're also fortunate in the Raleigh area, we have an Army Research Center that we're going to try and get involved in this. We also have two institutions, one at Carolina here in Chapel Hill and at State, in Raleigh that are focused on defense. So we're going to bring those in, as well as the North Carolina A&T organization has an agency that focuses on defense.
Well, and this is going to be a chapter for the 21st century, because we've been talking about logistically, we have a chapter. If it's based in Raleigh or centered in Raleigh, then people in Fayetteville, Jacksonville, Hickory, all around the state. So the thing we've been talking about infrastructure-wise is being able to have multiple locations for our meetings, and so each group in each geographic area can gather someplace, meet and greet, but then we all connect through video conferencing and everything. So we're going to be fully taking advantage of our websites, our social media, all the tools that the modern nonprofit association can leverage to make sure our members are well connected.
Yeah, if you look at most of the chapters associated with NDIA, they're focused in the geographical area around a military organization. Here in North Carolina, you have Fort Bragg, which includes the old Pope Air Force Base.
Right.
You have Goldsboro, which is Seymour Johnson, which is Air Force. Then you go down to the coast and you have Camp Lejeune. Then you have Three Rivers Naval Air Station, and then you have Cherry Point. And then you go up to Elizabeth City and you have Coast Guard.
And then we have the National Guard, 100 different centers,
armories
across the state.
Yeah. So we have a large military group in what you said earlier is correct. We just cannot focus in one specific area. We have to create this chapter statewide. And that way we can bring different views and stuff. If you look at businesses, we've got over 30 businesses located in just Charlotte that deal business with the military.
Great.
We've got multiple businesses all over the state that are small businesses that are doing the contract. So how do we bring all of that together? And the only way is to create a statewide chapter. Are we going to satisfy a lot of the small places where there's only 20, 25 members? No. But our focus is the large areas with the information centers, and then extend the reach through people being able to dial in for the conferences.
Well, and ultimately, I mean, as the chapter grows, as we get more resources, we get more underwriters and sponsors for the programs, we get more connected, there would be an ability to have the little satellite, 20 members here and 20 minutes there, call in, have the same satellite connections, conferencing. It's just we're going to be starting slowly. We've got to get some things in the ground, make sure we're doing well with our programs, our speakers. And then as people come forward and want to lead a sub-chapter or a subgroup geographically based, then we're going to be able to say yes.
Yeah.
Come on in.
People look at, I want to build a business, and they think they can just expand and spend money.
There's a magic wand that makes that happen.
And we've got to treat the building of the chapter as if we're in a startup mode. We've got to start small. We've got to grow in the focus areas that we have to for memberships. And then we have to find the programs. Our biggest is, what does a membership want across the state? Basically, that dictates what's going to be. The board, as you know, I'm very proud of, has put a lot of thought together as to where we want to go. The veterans, supporting veterans. And then technology. We're still defining those parameters, but if you look at it, for us to work across the state, those should be the two major focuses. There's a STEM group, but that's more for high schools and stuff, and it's a great program, but it becomes community-focused. And to have a chapter, if you're in a chapter in a community, it's great, but...
Well, and you need the bandwidth to get there. So we sort of decided to target three primary groups, and why don't you share those in going forward. So we're going to do the veterans.
Yeah, veterans, technology.
And I'm drawing a blank. I confess, I'm drawing a blank on the last one. I have it up here on a Word document.
So I can't think of it either.
It's sometimers. Sometimes I can remember, and sometimes I can't. And we were just talking before we come there. We're both juggling so many balls in the air.
Well, and the other thing too is there's so much information out there that we want to, when we get our website up, to be able to let people come in and connect them to various information sites.
Yeah, we're going to have a resources page.
Yeah.
We're going to be able to connect in and have ambassadors and communication points around the state, so information will flow. Because that's really what we want it decentralized so that the communications will flow.
Yeah.
And we want to be engaged with each of the chapters, each area of the geographic areas as a chapter, because we get the most power when we're all able to participate.
Technology vet.
I've got it up right here. So technology vet support. Oh, and we were going to let our chapter members pick the other. STEM was one of the ones we talked about.
Yeah.
And one of the women's programs we had talked about.
Yeah. But at the same time, there are two organizations in the state that we want to work with. We've got the North Carolina Military Business Community that focuses on helping businesses that want to do work in the government, with government agencies. If we come across a company that wants to get involved in that, we'll just refer them over to that.
It's going to be leveraging. We don't have to reinvent what everyone's doing.
That's
can JV. I can't wait, JV. We can joint venture this. So
that's right.
I tease JV and say his initials stand for joint venture. So we can do joint ventures with these other organizations. It's not about territory. It's about maximizing our impact for the state through these multiple agencies.
And then you have the North Carolina Defense Business Association, and they have a STEM program, and they have a Women's in Defense program, and they have a science and technology. Why not leverage what they already have and let them work with them to be successful across the state? Our focus is, from a national perspective, bringing all the government agencies, all the contractors, all the research institutions together to talk about how we improve relationships, how we improve business relationships.
Well, it's about networking. It's about introductions. It's about education, information, and then just making the dynamic chapters work so that if we are in San Diego or we're in Great Rivers, or which is St. Louis chapter, if we're in Michigan, wherever the chapters are, that we have the ability to reach out, connect, and have reciprocity so that we can help them as much as they help us.
Yeah, and I was at National Leadership, and the Hampton Roads group wants to work with us. And
for those who don't know, explain where Hampton's Roads is.
Hampton Roads is where the Atlantic Naval Fleet is kind of stationed. I can't remember the town, but that's where the Naval Fleet is. And they've already suggested that we'd probably get together and at some point create a event for the Atlantic Coast.
Well, we do that. Other associations and groups that I'm associated with, we will do a Carolinas event in Poland, South Carolina, North Carolina. We'll reach down into Georgia frequently or out to Tennessee. Yeah. It just really depends on what resources and what's best for the chapter members.
That's it. And that's why that's one of our goals, too. Hopefully, by the middle of next month, we will have a feedback from our members across the state to understand what their goals and what they see as goals and dreams for this chapter, and get a commitment out of the membership to help grow this, because it is a statewide chapter. It's just not a focused area. It is statewide. And if you look at the team, I've got one person that lives in Chapel Hill, three people in Raleigh, and one person down in Fayetteville. And we've already had a conference call.
Right.
Right now we're having face-to-face simply so we can put our ideas together. But at some point, I don't think we'll see everybody's faces after we start going.
Well, and I laugh, and we were talking about this at one of our organizational meetings. I have clients that I've never spoken to or seen.
Yeah.
Everything comes in electronically. In this day and age, travel is a disadvantage when we're wanting to leverage our limited amount of time and our resources.
Yeah.
So the more that we can make it so that someone can call in from their office, or they can call in from a group location, they can call in when they're on the road, that's just going to open this up so much more to even engaging with people who are not members of our chapters, but we may have a topic that San Diego or somebody wants to hear. And so we're able to, again, maximize the reach and the impact of what we're doing.
And you hit a good point, because there's a lot of good resources sitting up in the Washington, D.C. area. There's a defense educational institution. I met Tom, and him and me are talking about what programs we could bring, education programs we could bring down the state. And he was surprised when I asked him the question. But there's a lot of resources so that when we have our statewide chapter meetings, we can bring them in to talk to us. How many people would love to talk to a DOD small office of small business head to understand how they do business with the DOD? Emily Hart, who heads up the Navy's Office of Small Business. I've talked to her, and I know she'd be glad to come in on a conference and talk to us.
Well, and for small businesses, they're often don't have the depth of number of people there to be able to have the CEO or the chief science officer or somebody try out to go out and make the connections to do business. And being able to facilitate that and even just identify who these people are and the points of contact will bring more business to North Carolina and to all of the chapters around the country, because our members then will know how to connect and how to stay in business by becoming a government contractor, reaching out to the right part of the defense industry and doing all that, or become subs to the major primes.
That's it.
And it's making business happen within the context of relationships inside this association.
Yeah, and I've got a meeting Monday with a gentleman, and he asked me a question a couple of weeks ago. He said, what businesses are doing business in the state of North Carolina? I'm going to give them a list of over 30 agencies that are doing businesses that are doing it. Now, I'm not giving out the names of the contacts, but it gives him a basis to where he can reach out, because he's also focused in how do I get the veterans employed in the state.
Well, and I'm part of the National Small Business Association, too, and it comes in frequently. They have questions from reporters and stuff about who in North Carolina is a government contractor, or who is doing X with the defense industry, or what small business has, you know, what woman-owned business has done.
Yeah.
And being able to have those resources and raise the visibility of our businesses that are chapter members. And I know RLM hosted down in Spring Lake was kind enough to host our organizational meeting, exploratory meeting in earlier this year. And so I was happy to give them a call out in the article and say, you know, RLM is a government contractor, you know, and you know, highlight those kind of things and make sure that the businesses grow stronger by getting more visible and people being aware that they are able to do business.
Well, and the funny thing was, within 24 hours after we had the meeting, I got an email from them asking, what does it take to be a member of NDIA? And the thing is, it's based upon, and you got to be careful, it's based upon how much revenue you are getting from the military, not from your total revenue.
Right.
We look at it.
One, there are individual memberships that are $40. I mean, that's doable for any solo practitioner.
That's it. Plus, if you belong, X number of employees get to join, become members.
As a business membership.
As a business. Actually, let me pull it up.
And I believe active military join for free.
Active military, and includes guard and reserve, because I want to make sure of that very soon when I got the chapter. And they get 3 years of free membership when they sign up.
And so when they're sitting there with the program I do, I'm helping active military and veterans transition into business ownership.
Yeah.
So as we're helping build their business, as they're still active military, they can become an NDIA member. And it's ndia.org until we get our chapter website set up.
Yeah.
I'll add that to the show notes whenever we do it.
Yeah.
And you can join the membership. They'll get us your contact information, and we'll be able to start communicating with you right away.
Yeah. And as of yesterday, we have now 928 members in the state. I haven't done my detailed analysis, but before that we had 893. 354 of those were government employees that were giving. Individual members was only 49. Corporate employees under corporate membership was over 490. So when a corporation, their employees get to be part of the chapter. So they get a weekly newsletter in the email.
We're working on that.
Yeah. You get a monthly news magazine if you want to sign up for it. And I think the best thing out there is every year there's a corporate director that's released by NDI of all the corporations that are sponsors of NDI, and there's over 1,600 of those corporations nationwide.
And I want to challenge National that we can help them digitize that, and so that it's always current, because the hard copies are kind of hard to get a hold of, and then they quickly get outdated as new people come
on
right after it's printed.
That's just it. As I hand out the books on corporate sponsorships, I say, this is as good as the day it was printed.
Right. Well, and modernizing and updating everything, hopefully North Carolina's chapter is going to be kind of driving some of that across the country.
I think, and people are looking at us. We're the first chapter that has been built in at least 5 to 10 years. So we're setting new standards for how you build a chapter. How do you build a virtual chapter? Because, yeah, there's bodies behind it, such as yourself right. and myself, but it becomes virtual because we've got Diane down in Fayetteville. There's a CEO out in Southport who said, "Don't forget us out here in Southport." Right. We got 30 some members up in Elizabeth City. How do we get them involved in the Elizabeth City area? Because that's where the Coast Guard's located.
Right.
Then you got Camp Lejeune and that area. We've got to extend out into them because they have contracts out there that people can get. So the membership, it's going to be a virtual, and as you had said earlier, we're setting up these information centers of excellence, whatever we finally decide on. And the people, when we have our monthly meetings, will be able to come into that location, network with their peers in that location, and meet business owners that are in there who want to learn about how they can build and work with the government, or how institutions take in their research and come.
Well, and we've been talking as the chapter board, there's five members on the board. We want to launch five key areas to start with, and each one of us wants to make sure that someone is there physically from the board.
And that was your idea.
Right. Because we have, we can be too remote, but we need to be able to have those channels
That's
open.
It.
And so if we have five key centers, we'll say one here at RTP, one in Fayetteville, if it ends up being Jacksonville or Winston-Salem, Charlotte, whatever it is, I think it's really important for us to alternate through so that every board member gets to connect with the chapters. Auxiliary or remote locations, and that there's physical connection, FaceTime for each of the board members.
And it gives the board members, too, the opportunity to hear what the people are talking about down in there. What are the key business issues there? One of the things, and you're a recipient of it, my mentor, who Jim Laswell out in San Diego, who helped build that chapter, we were talking, and he said, "Good luck." But Jim heads up the small business group out there. We've got 26 different divisions. One of them is a small business. And Jim publishes, he gets stuff from the Spay Wars group out there and other agencies. And I'm passing that on because it's stuff that matters to small business.
Well, and that may end up being one of our three platforms, is that it's about small business, because we frequently don't understand the dynamic of a small business who has technology and capability, but they need a different approach to being able to become part of working as a contractor for the government, as a prime or a sub. It is my area of expertise. And then structuring things. And so it's great that we're going to be able, from ground zero, start making infrastructure decisions that are going to enable us to have a 21st century chapter.
And that's the key.
And I'm not backing down on very many of those, so.
Well, I know. You know.
Jamie's looking at me because he knows we were having a conversation earlier, because, you know, there's so much technology we can leverage to share information, to template things, to drive this, that we do in the for-profit sector. We need to do it in the nonprofit chapter associations also.
Well, but let's step back. We're laughing, and when I...
He's laughing because, and my audience knows, I don't have a shy, retiring, or quiet personality.
It's like when we put the members together, I interviewed everybody, and I go back to something called Smart Brief on Leadership. And one of the things in there said, what makes a corporation successful? And they looked at two different perspectives. If you have a board that goes, "Yes, sir, you're right, let's do it that way," or as this board that I
disruptive technologies. Let's just label ourselves. Yeah, so but, we're not going to, we challenge each other and then we'll debate it. We can get a little intense, let's say that. But it's going to be driving that we have systems, we have infrastructure, and then the team has clear roles and responsibilities.
And not only that, but once we challenge each other, once we agree on it, once we sit the presidents is... I know that everybody on that board, they've had their say, they've had their views heard, and they're going to say, okay, yes, we agree on it, and I know that this is the message that's going to be communicated. This is how we're going to work. It's like you setting up the information for us, which I greatly appreciate it. You start saying, well, we need this, we need that, we need this, we need that. It's taken a while to get the stuff that we need, but and the biggest thing is we've got to document it, because we've got to be able to say to National, here's how you do it.
Well, we're using electronic drop boxes. We're using email communication. I digitally record our meetings, and they get transcribed. And so we might occasionally get a few names back and forth in the wrong. I think JV and Luke's name might have got switched around when we're doing the transcription. But we then literally have those discussions, and we can always go back later and say, what was the other idea? Well, we've got it for what that other idea
is. Well, I got it. I'm sitting here laughing because you had talked about the Dropbox and stuff. I was at National last week, and I was talking to the people I knew from San Diego. And they were saying, well, how are you going to handle your communications? I said, that's easy. We're going to use a Dropbox. I said, I'm really surprised that San Diego doesn't have one. And the chapter president says, what are you talking about? I says, get a Dropbox.
We create, there's one for board meetings. There's the electronic. Here's the transcription. JV needs this list or whatever. So it's from JV to National. And, we just have different boxes for different things to people. There's one to put website building content. There's the biographies, the financial. And it's just there. And any one of us can go access whatever we need at any point in time.
And the people in San Diego are going to go talking to Alexis. She said, thanks for the information. I'm going to take it back to board and make the recommendation. It's like you say, it's how do you build a organization in the 21st century? And you've got to use the social media tools, but at the same time, you've got to make sure that we protect people's privacy and stuff.
Well, and that comes down to the infrastructure of the policies and the procedures and those kind of things and the security. And having so many clients as government contractors where I get documents that are more black because of redacting than they are. And it's like, you read something and it's like, well, I can't actually help you cost it if I can't even know what electronic component you need. And it's looking at that. So you can have those disciplines. We have the best practices. We have them available. We just need to utilize them at a smaller scale to start. But we're as secure as anybody taking a credit card.
Yeah, I remember we had that discussion about security on which system we wanted to use to do it. And
right. Well, and so many organizations use, and I'm not putting Google down, but a Gmail account that's an unpaid free Gmail account is not a secure account. A free Google Dropbox for groups is not a secure account. A private Facebook page is not a secure place to transmit information. And so it's understanding that this really is a corporation.
That's it.
Running, and we have to have the same standards and same controls that I would set up for any legal entity.
And it's a corporation starting small and going to grow. Because hopefully I envision that within 24 months, we will be having our monthly meetings. I remember the discussion we had about programs. And what's the discussion?
It's just a little intense.
But we'll have monthly meetings. And then we'll have various programs across the state.
And we'll share it with the listeners. So my perspective on programs is something that can occur independently or within a monthly meeting. A monthly meeting is not a program. It is especially for an association, it is a membership thing that is a legal element of being an association.
Yeah.
And so that was just kind of a difference in opinion.
Well, and then you're right. And yes, even in the meetings you have a program because people want to come, and it's like we all talk. What you've got to have two or three takeaways out of each session. Someone comes in, he wants to hear this topic. He wants to be able to take something back. And as we grow our website,
the content will be there.
The content will be there so that people can go back up and review it. Just like on this program, people will be able to go back
And podcasting, all of those different types of things, which on my day job, we were talking, I have the radio equipment setting on my office and those kind of things too. And so as we leverage those tools, that makes it time bending.
Yeah.
Someone couldn't make the meeting. They really wanted to hear the program, but there's a podcast of it.
Yeah.
And so they'll be able to go back and get that podcast of that program because we're going to be able to record those types of things.
Yeah. And the other thing too, it's like, we're sitting here talking. I can use one term and you'll interpret something else. What the podcast allows a person to go back and say, okay, what did they really say? And they can listen to what's being said. And when you start getting your speakers in and start talking, it allows them to say, well, Leah said this. No, I disagree. And you can go back to that.
Well, not only that, it's like we have a tendency to throw out, especially with government things, acronyms.
Yes.
We can put the podcast out with an acronym list. I mean, there's just different things that we can do that somebody may not know what SOCOM is, or, you know, you go through different things that we deal with them every day. Someone coming in saying, I want to take my technology now to the Defense Department, may not have that vocabulary. And I remember joining corporate America when I joined Ford. I asked somebody, where is your acronym dictionary? Because every building was an acronym. And they're like, what are you talking about? I was like, please tell me somewhere these are written down, because I got in this meeting and I had 50 acronyms. And like you were saying, I asked different people, well, that stands for this or that, and then I had to have 5 different definitions easily. And then I started building Ford an acronym dictionary because it was driving me crazy. And then they would change the building codes. So I went from EEE to OEEEI or something, and I was like, okay, guys, this is, you know, so we can have those kind of resources then on the website and make it powerful for people coming in to do business.
And we want to keep people informed to make the state strong, to make the industry strong.
Generate jobs in the economy.
Generate jobs. We need to do it. As I talk to people across the state, I'm going to find out who can be, like you say, who do we get to, okay, a veteran gets out of this business community. Who's a good point of contact for this type of area? Businesses want to do startups. Veterans want to do startups. Where's the best place to go and get this information? Who do you get it from?
I might be biased, but no.
We're all kind of biased.
So it's funny because I'm. That's some of the things that are. That's the one of the biggest challenges I think our board is going to have is that we are so busy in our business lives.
Yeah.
And different phases of 2 of us launching new businesses. I have my 14-year-old business, plus I'm launching programs, writing grants, dealing with clients, doing the radio shows. And so that is our biggest challenge organizationally as the leadership team, is to be able to connect and get all of our to-do list items done each time.
Thank God for the Dropbox.
It's like, that's what I'm saying. If you need it from me, if I've got it, it'll be in the Dropbox.
Yeah.
Or I'll send out an email, or we'll schedule meetings and those kind of things. But it's just hypercritical. The busier we are, the stronger our communications is going to be. Yeah. And I think that's going to translate well to the chapter, because all of our clientele, our members, are busy too.
Yeah. And that's why one of the things I truly view is, if you noticed all my correspondence,
yes,
it's got everybody's name on there, because I want that message to be consistent. You know, it's like, what is the message we want? When I was at National, I heard a lot of this great stuff, and I said, okay, why don't we have a vision? And within a week after I got from National the charts that showed the vision, but now we got to bring that down to what is our vision across the state, and to make a statewide chapter and have a uniformity of message is very critical. Because I want all 900 members to walk out and say, talk about NDIA, and I want them to say, here's what the North Carolina NDIA chapter means, and here's what it means for me.
Well, and it's like in branding any business, the creating that tagline, that thing that somebody walks out, that when everyone walks out, they know that we do education, we're strong on communication, we're about listening to the membership and what are the membership needs, and making sure we're forming programs and doing things that serve our customers.
And you look at our clientele. We have got some of the biggest organizations from a military perspective sitting down at Fort Bragg.
Right.
How do we get in to them? It's like the logistics side. A lot of the issues around the logistics. How do we getting in there and talking to them and getting them as a government-sponsored government, you got to be careful how you say sponsorship. But they're a government agency that supports this group to foster the relationships. But get in with them so that
we want them to be engaged,
so that they can tell us the issues that they have, so that they can foster, tell their business, our business clients, what's needed to be successful.
We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Focus on Business on WCOM FM, Chapel Hill and Carrboro, 103.5 on the dial. If you would like to become an underwriter for Focus on Business or any of the WCOM FM LP 103.5 programs or the station, visit the WCOMFM.org website for information on underwriting shows, becoming an individual sponsor, becoming a Golden Voice sponsor, or how to volunteer with the station. That's WCOMFM.org. We're on the air because you care and you underwrite our programs. Focus on Business would like to thank our underwriter, Close HR Connections. Visit their website, CloseHRConnections.com. You're listening to Focus on Business on WCOM FM LP Chapel Hill and Carrboro. That's 103.5 on the dial, and we're focused on your success. You're listening to Focus on Business on WCOM FM LP Chapel Hill and Carrboro. That's 103.5 on the dial. And now back to Focus on Business. And you're listening to Focus on Business on WCOM 103.5 FM, Chapel Hill and Carrboro. I'm Lee Strickland, and we're talking with J.V. Miller about North Carolina's new National Defense Industry Association chapter that has launched in October. Full disclosure, your host is participating in the board of that chapter as the secretary. And so we've been talking about the dynamics of connecting with our members, about building one of the first chapters in the past in over 10 years, I think, NDA, since they've had another chapter, and that we are definitely a chapter for the 21st century. We're leveraging technology to connect. And so we're going to have our first active chapter meeting February 21st. He's crossing his fingers, guys, in February. And we've given us enough time then that we want to start having our website there, the newsletters there, communications, and getting feedback about programs and content. And so right now, for our listeners, if you go to ndia.org, you can see how to become a member, select North Carolina as your chapter, and then you will start getting communications from us. And we're going to be doing a survey of our membership in the next couple of weeks, asking questions about how they want to be communicated with, what kind of businesses they are, all kinds of different things that are there so that we're connecting and making sure that we're really starting out on the right foot with the membership. And so the challenges of getting the demographic information, getting the issues and the challenges that they want to be addressed first, it really does get down to our ability to communicate, connect, and get feedback from the people we're reaching out to.
That is true. I was listening to you talk, and that was one of the questions, the survey I forgot to put down, best method of communications.
Between the five of us, we get all the questions there.
Yeah. Back in May when we did this, I got a membership list from National. And I did a demographics, and the database from National is based upon zip codes. And it's interesting how the federal government, postal, has
split things, right?
Split things.
The geographic split is not necessarily going to end up being based on the postal split, but yes.
Well, yeah, and I agree with it, because if you look at the postal split, the 275 includes Raleigh, Durham, all the way out to Goldsboro,
right,
which really surprised the heck out of me. All of Cumberland County and a large area around that. But the concentration of people was quite interesting. It was Charlotte, Goldsboro, Greensboro, well, Raleigh, Fayetteville, we know.
Right.
And then you had the other concentration was on the coast. So
from Wilmington to Jacksonville then up to South Point.
And that was why, as the board has talked, we're focusing on that. But as you said earlier, once we get that initial chapter, once we get the business up and running, if we want to look at it that way, then we can expand. But everybody, when we have a conference, when we have meetings, we're going to have dial-in capability for people can dial in, and they can talk and hear the conference so that they can be part of it. Like you said earlier, we're going to have a member from the chapter there. If that area wants to have a networking event, we'll figure out how we can support their networking event. Oh, by the way, one of us will show up.
Well, there. and that's the thing. Again, it's going to be driving communication through our website, being able to post events from different things happening around the state, get information out about our events, but events our members are caring about or attending, yeah. And then making sure the schedule can work and that we can have someone there. We're going to try our best. We won't say we'll make it 100% of the time, because we are all running our own businesses and doing our day jobs and things. And so dynamically, the more we can communicate the earlier and hardened dates, the more likely we are to be able to support each of the activities that the chapter is going to be engaged in.
And not only that, but the other thing is that people don't realize is NDIA hosts a series of conferences across the United States, and individual chapters host their own conferences. And if people go up to the NDIA.org, they're going to see where all of these are, and they can participate so that they can expand their different horizons. Also, when I was at National and taking leadership as a member of the San Diego chapter, I didn't realize a lot of things, like there's 27 different divisions within NDIA. There's a science and technology. North Carolina's got DBA's got a science and technology. How do we work with them?
Right. We don't necessarily have to reinvent the wheel or be the one doing the event. We could co-sponsor or co-host an event.
That's it.
And, leverage, because I think a lot of times organizations start being territorial because this is my mission.
That's it.
But the mission truly is to serve the customer base, to serve the business community, to serve the veterans, to serve our government agencies who need to make purchases. And so when we think of it from that way, it's better to leverage two membership lists and have one event make it more successful than to have competing events.
Well, you looked at when we had our meeting in May. You were not a member of NTI at the time. How did you hear about it? You heard it from the MBC group.
Right, from Scott Dorney's group, because I do training programs for them.
And Scott was very instrumental in our meeting location, and he spread out the word for us, and I greatly appreciate that. And Scott sends me stuff, and I send it out to the four of you guys and send it. So it's just a reciprocation of the information. Because
it's that old saying, you add water and all the boats rise. And we want to add water to the business community, not competing for the same berth in the harbor. We want to be right beside the current organizations, making them more successful, making us more successful than making the people we serve.
Yeah, and as Ralph had said, the thing is, if we can provide our membership with the information they need to be successful, we've gone a long way, and that means the chapter is successful, and we as a leadership team have achieved our personal goals.
It's our businesses grow by growing each other.
That's it.
And so somebody said, well, what if your competition? I said, if my competition can beat me, then fine. That's fine. Then I just need to hone my game a little bit more.
That's it.
And that's true between all the organizations serving these groups, too.
Yeah. But we as a group want to work with all the organizations because we all take pride in the state of North Carolina.
Yes.
We all want North Carolina to be successful. If North Carolina is successful, that means we're successful at what we're doing.
We have more client potential. We have more business opportunities. We have more skilled people to bring into our organizations.
That's it.
We have more people to do business with.
Yeah.
And that's the approach we've all taken as board members.
Yeah. And it's a cooperative type of board and cooperative outside. You know, it's like if we host a membership, I'll recommend to the board that a member pays this, but non-member pays that. But that's
just normal business.
That's normal business. So there's nothing wrong with that. But right now, our fundamental goal is to get NDIA, the North Carolina NDIA chapter, up, working to support the membership. And we talked, and I'm laughing at myself as we're talking.
He's making notes on things that we've been talking about. So.
Well, you know, we've got a survey getting ready to go out. And I've already got three more things I want to put on that survey. You know, I don't want a long survey, but...
Well, and again, that's leveraging technology, because it looks long, but when we do the new technology for doing online surveys, there are drop boxes that things are pre-populated and those kind of things. So it may take 3 minutes, although it looks like it should take 20.
Yeah.
And so it's honing that and our ability then to use the modern conveniences of online surveys and things like that to make it happen.
Yeah. And hopefully by the 8th of December, we'll have some feedback.
My birthday.
Is that? Well, happy birthday early. Early,
yeah. We won't say how many. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I quit counting at my...
I'm still counting. I had that's sort of an aside. The audience knows I do this. I had an 8th grade history teacher that said no one would ever be president. And I was like, why? And he goes, no one would ever admit to being over 35. So I always swore I would be perfectly happy admitting my age, and I will be 52 on December 8th. So I'm still a...
You're just a young, sweet, young sweet woman.
Sweet's not something I'm called very often. So we'll put that one in the record books. So, listening on the news this morning, so one thing, they were 53 years since Kennedy was assassinated. Where were we? Those kind of stories we're doing today. And it was interesting to listen to the dynamic of how impactful that is, the direction the country went after.
Yeah.
And people saying how it impacted their life, and it's still 53 years later. Where were they? Were they in the eighth grade, their eighth grade literature class? Were they here? Were they there? And just the different perspectives. And I think we're at one of those, no assassinations, please, but we're at those turning points in the country now where we will be rebuilding the big stick, I think, as Teddy Roosevelt, I think I was, used to say, speak softly and carry a big stick. We'll be carrying the big stick again. The defense industry is going to be lean. It's going to be stronger, more efficient, but it's going to be growing in different ways, and there's going to be great opportunities for our chapter members to pursue this.
If you go up to our website, there's the 2016 top 10 list, which is interesting when you look at it. What I'm interested in seeing is what the top 10 for 2017 are from an industry perspective. The biggest issue right now is, we were talking, sequestration is still in effect.
Right.
What does the Congress do with sequestration?
It goes bye-bye.
Yeah, we hope. Yes. But that's what this chapter is to help foster the policies that
53 years from now, people will look back and say 2017 was the year the foundation was laid for X.
That's right. And what I'm hoping is 53 years from now, people are going to look at it and say, in 2016, the North Carolina NDI chapter was founded, and it has grown to this membership and has done this to improve the state's growth in the defense industry.
So what are the biggest challenges that we're going to be taking on in the next few weeks, in the few months until we get to the new chapter? And if somebody's listening, how do they get in touch with you? They know how to get in touch with me, so I'm going to put this on you. So how do you want them to get a reach out to you if they want to help move this along and be active in the chapter?
Well, the first thing we've got to do is, as you know, is we've got to set our policies, we've got to set our guide rules, and we're discussing those.
I'm doing a happy dance, everybody, because I love it when someone says that.
Because as a startup, we have to set the ground rules. We have to set, you know, it's like the mission statement. I went and looked at a whole bunch of chapters, and I looked at their statements for mission, and then I just created a mission, and the entire board approved the mission. And it's those things. We've got to create a mission. We've got to establish what our programs are, when we're going to do them, you know.
Where, we have to do our infrastructure.
Yeah.
Our communications.
Yeah. We got to get our website up so that people can go to the website to find the information. We're at an early stage, but the goal is to have our first meeting on the 21st of February, which I believe is a Tuesday, trying to understand in our centers, our areas of interest, or information centers, whatever we call them, you know, that terminology.
Geographic subchapters.
It's getting information to make sure that we're not conflicting with the local chamber of commerce in those areas with meetings, understanding that. Getting the advisory board together. The advisory board is government agencies, educational folks.
Subject matter experts.
Subject matters and small business owners, because for us, I believe small business is what's going to make us successful in the state.
Well, I'm everybody listening to the show knows that I'm saying small business is what makes the country great.
Agreed.
Because small businesses have created more jobs, more sales, more gross national product than the larger companies, and have the more motivation to be the innovators, to be the decision makers, and the ones that are going to power the next phase.
You know, it's like National sent us this. I hate referring to National, but I have to. They guide us. They sent out a list of the small corporations in the state. But I remember we released our first newsletter last week. I got another one by the second.
Right.
But we want to bring the small businesses, get them to become members of the NDIA and be sponsors, because it gets them visibility across the United States. But at the same time, in our newsletter, we're going to highlight the new businesses that have joined it, so that people across the state will say, oh, this company, oh, they're doing that? Oh, we've got a contract over here, and we need someone to be the subcontractor.
Right.
So we help build those relationships by default. So we want to get information flowing out there so that the small corporations can get there. And I think the key, though, is our membership. Getting our membership across the state to get engaged in their communities as a member of NDIA. And, you know, we're looking for ideas, and that's why we as a group said technology, which we've got to define. Veterans, we still. So it's defining those, defining what our programs are going to be for the next couple of months, defining how we're going to set up those meetings, because the first, for day one, we're going to be doing virtual meetings, so we're going to have to find local sponsors who have a facility that can house, let's say, 20, 25 members.
Right.
And because initially we're going to have small attendance, but we can link those two facilities together, and we can treat it as a meeting, not as an entity. You know, NDIA, you stand up, you say the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States, you call the meeting to order, you go over activities, because we'll have to tell people what the board's doing so they're aware of what it is. And then we have our guest speaker come in and talk for...
We have the program. That's the salute to Diana, Luke. We have the program. So we have our meeting, and then we have the program within the meeting.
Yeah. Okay. And then we got the other programs outside so that if there's a topic people want, we can find experts, we can bring them in for a day to talk to the members at some location. And Diane's got a bunch of connections. You've got a bunch of places we can bring it together. All we got to do is let those people be the local sponsor for the event. And that's how we grow. But it's, how do we get the membership? What is the membership? And for us, our next big step is the survey that we're going to send out. I hate sending things out on a Monday or Friday. So
yeah,
it'll probably be
Tuesday or Wednesday.
Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. And then we're going to have to ask for a fast response. But that's for our initial meeting, which we're going to meet on, the 12th?
Yeah. That's what I was looking in our schedule.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to let you get away with not telling them how to get in touch with you. So do you want them to email you?
I deny.
Should they just go through the national chapter and say?
Well, there's two ways. They can go to Molly Flanagan, mflanagan@ndia.org. She's in charge of chapters and stuff, and Molly will pass the stuff on. I'll give my business address is JV Miller.
Joint Venture Miller.
_11 @hotmail.com. The one thing I ask, because I get a
lot. In the subjects, put in North Carolina NDIA chapter.
NCNDIA as the first two words, because I will focus on that.
Right.
And that's how you get a hold of
it. It's part of the infrastructure. It's on me to start everybody's email addresses, but we have to get the hosting decisions.
We have to get the hosting.
And again, that's the growing pains of the chapter. Yeah. So right now we're all still using our email addresses. You can also reach out to me the same way, lea@focusresourcesinc.com, and we'll get back to you.
We'll get back to, I guarantee you, you'll hear from me within 24 to 48 hour business hours. If it's the weekend, that's my family time, so it'll be during the week.
Well, I want to thank J.V. Miller of North Carolina's NDIA chapter for joining me today on today's show. And everyone, until next time, stay focused on the important things. Focus on Business would like to thank our underwriter, Close HR Connections. Ann Close of Close HR Connections has been on the show, and she is a great supporter of WCOM-FM and Focus on Business. Visit their website, closehrconnections.com. If you would like to become an underwriter for Focus on Business or any of the WCOM-FM LP 103.5 programs or the station, visit the WCOMFM.org website for information on underwriting shows, becoming an individual sponsor, becoming a Golden Voice sponsor, or how to volunteer with the station. That's WCOMFM.org. We're on the air because you care and you underwrite our programs. Focus on Business is underwritten by Focus Resources. Their website is focusresourcesinc.com. That's focusresourcesinc.com.
Traffic jam, staring at the faces in a rearview mirror, looking at the promise of the promised land. A one kid dreams of fame and fortune, one kid helps pay the rent. One just might